Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great. Are we ready to do another show about the cross?
Yes.
Ooh, is this number 7 or number 8?
Number 7.
Number 7. Excellent. 7's a good number.
Yes, it is.
It's a perfect number.
It's an excellent number.
Yeah, we don't, even though, as you can imagine, we spend many hours planning these shows and rehearsing, we never know exactly how many shows we're going to do about what. And I'm just joking because we spend zero time planning and zero time rehearsing. We just kind of go with the flow, so to speak.
Well, the Lord certainly has given us a lot
to
talk about.
A very powerful session. And last week, and it's really hard to believe a whole week's gone by already since we were last here, but we talked about how Paul writes in 1 Corinthians that it's not about human wisdom. It's not about eloquence of words. It's not about philosophical systems. It's not about knowledge and power of debating, but it's by faith, and it's a move of the Spirit that Paul, in all his intelligence and all his strengths of being an educated person, just simply preaches the gospel, and he says, I don't preach anything except Christ and Christ crucified, and people are converted.
Yeah.
And he says, it's not by wisdom, because it's not about him. It's not about the messenger. You know, Jesus said of Paul, you know, he's my chosen vessel to the Gentiles. You know, he's not the message. He's the messenger. And none of us are the message. We're messengers that are working for the kingdom.
Right.
And our mission is to proclaim the word. And if one of us decides, well, you know, I'm too scared to do this. I don't want to do this anymore. The Holy Spirit will find somebody else to do it, find somebody else to take your place, because the plan's going to go on. The plan doesn't just hinge on you.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah. And even Paul, who was, you know, way smarter than we are, understood this. And he was in a position where he knew the Tanakh, the Old Testament, so well that he really could have used it to make an argument, and I'm sure that he did in places, of why Jesus was the Messiah, but he preached only Christ and Christ crucified. And he had his calling directly from Jesus through this amazing, powerful interaction that they had. And this is what changed him from being the Pharisee to being the apostle to the Gentiles to being the vessel that was going to be used to reach the Gentiles. And he didn't do this by wisdom.
Right. And, you know, he presented arguments, but he always brought it back to the wisdom of God, the cross of Christ.
Yes.
He didn't rely on, he never pointed to his own wisdom. He always pointed to God. He always pointed to the cross of Christ. And because he knew, you know, he knew that if it was his wisdom that people were hearing and you know, flocking to, that wasn't the message that God was giving.
Exactly.
That wasn't his role.
Right.
And the, you know, the role of a preacher, the role of a shepherd is an important one, because God gives you a flock. He gives you people to take care of and to bring into the kingdom and to cultivate. And that's a, you know, it's an awesome responsibility.
Yeah.
And one that Paul obviously understood and took much care in.
Yeah. He just preached, you know, to the whole Gentile world, just, you know, a few people here and
just
there.
Just a few people here and there. A couple letters.
Yeah. And he knew, he understood that he was an imperfect messenger with a perfect message, as we mentioned last week and I think the week before that. And, you know, as he writes in Romans, you know, I'm the first among sinners. You know, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I keep doing those things. You know, what a wretched man I am. Who's going to deliver me from this? You know, it kind of shows you that he doesn't think of himself as this holy guy who's walking around being spiritual all the time. He says he's the first among sinners.
Yeah.
And it's a very, very, very amazing thing to say, because a Pharisee would never say that.
No,
a Pharisee would say, those guys are sinners. I'm not a sinner, but
glad I'm not like them.
You're glad I'm not like that guy over there. I do all the stuff.
Well, you know, what you just said, he was an imperfect messenger with a perfect message.
Yes.
Is really a great embodiment of what it, you know, what that message, what the messenger, what the disciple of the Lord is, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
We're all imperfect messengers, but we have the perfect message. We have the word, you know, we have the wisdom of God to proclaim, and in the manner that we proclaim it needs to be in that manner of love that Paul talks about so many times in his letters to, you know, whether it's the Romans, the Corinthians, the Galatians, or the Ephesians. You know, we need to proclaim it in that love that Christ showed on the cross for us.
Yeah, exactly. And you did read, I think it'd be worth reading again. You read a passage at the end of last week's show.
Yes.
That, why don't you read that again and we'll start from there.
Okay, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 6. Yet we do speak a wisdom to those who are mature, but not a wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. Rather, we speak God's wisdom, mysterious, hidden, which God predetermined before the ages for our glory, and which none of the rulers of this age knew. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. See, this is God's wisdom. The plan of salvation is his wisdom. And we have to go back to see earlier in that chapter where Paul says, this is foolishness to those that are perishing. We talked about that quite a bit the last couple of shows. This is a foolish plan.
Right.
I mean, let's face it. If one of us were asked to make a plan of salvation, we wouldn't have made this plan. We would have made a much easier plan that says, oh, let's just forget about sin. Everything is good.
Right.
Don't worry. And God's wisdom seems foolishness to us because it's, you know, in Isaiah it says, it's as far as the heavens from the earth are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above your thoughts.
Right.
Because to us, as you pointed out last time, you see Jesus dying on the cross and you say, man, this is weird. This guy's just some criminal they're killing.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about, you know, if you reflect back on just how all the disciples responded to that.
Yeah.
They were hiding.
Yeah.
They were hiding in fear of their lives. This was victory. This was salvation. This was restoring the kingdom. They truly didn't understand that.
Right.
Even though Jesus, you know, told Peter, you know, Peter tells Jesus, you know, I'll never let you die. I'll die with you. You know, get behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
You're thinking as a human being does, not as God does. You know, so we see that this is God's wisdom.
Yeah.
And not human wisdom. And the ways of God, you know, as you pointed out in Isaiah, I think it's 55. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. For just as the heavens are above the, you know, just as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above your thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, and to, and even, you know, even Paul says, you know, who's known the mind of God? You know, who's been his counselor?
Yeah. Yeah. If you read Job chapter 38, there's an amazing thing about that that goes on for a whole chapter or more. Where God says, you know, let me ask you a few questions.
Oh, wouldn't you?
were you there when I laid out the foundations of the earth?
Yeah, Job got a little testy, and God gave him a...
Yeah, and it's a perfect thing because, you know, you can see from the scientific technological age that we live in, we can become arrogant, and we can say to... Well, first of all, there's so many people that say there is no God to begin with, but we can say to God, hey, you know what? We got this figured out. So we don't need you around anymore. We got this figured out. We got the equations. We got the fundamental theories all down. So, you know, maybe primitive people needed you around to guide them, but we're okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for your help, but we don't need you anymore.
And, you know, if you think about it, with all the knowledge that we as human beings do have, you know, we can't create the DNA that is within somebody. We can't even create the dirt that's on the ground.
Exactly.
in and of ourselves.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
We can only use the things that God's already created.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's the foolishness of where things are at, because we think that we have all the answers, but yet in and of ourselves, you know, yeah, we can, you know, we can test tube babies and all this, all this other technological advancements.
Yeah.
But the core of what makes up a human being, the DNA, we can't make that ourselves.
Exactly.
We can't even come close to it.
Yeah. So, you know, in orders of wisdom, you know, like we talked about, the Greeks had all these philosophers that were very wise, and they sat around debating about all these different philosophical abstract concepts. And this weird little guy, Paul, with an annoying voice comes in and says, "Hey, I'm just preaching Christ and Christ crucified." And they said, "Man, you got to lighten up about this.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going on and on about this. Let's talk about something else."
Yeah.
He says, "No, I don't want to talk about anything else." So, you know, he goes walking into Starbucks. There's a bunch of philosophers sitting around drinking coffee. He goes up to him and says, "Hey, I just want to talk about Christ and Christ crucified." And they look at him like, "No, we're talking about something else now."
Mm-hmm.
"Well, too bad. This is what I'm going to talk about."
Yeah.
This is all he wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
And, you know, this Pharisee who's zealous for the law now is transformed into this and is preaching a radical idea. Salvation is a radical idea, and we also have to preach it. It's radical in our time as well. And you're going to have neighbors and coworkers and people at your school and even people at your church that are going to say, "Man, you know, this is weird what you're saying."
Just because somebody's in the pew next to you does not mean
exactly
they really understand the love of God.
That's
for them.
Right. Exactly. And so we have a radical message. We're imperfect messengers. We have a perfect message, and it's radical because from everything you just said and everything we just discussed, it doesn't follow from human thought.
Right.
It's not a way that you can deduce it. There's not a way you can sit with a notepad and say, "Okay, now let me see if I got this figured out." Because this is way above our way of thinking.
Yeah.
Because if we're left to make our own plan of salvation, which many people in our culture are, we have, you know, moral relativism. We have the "I'm okay, you're okay.
We're all okay.
Everybody's fine, so don't worry. Everybody's on the broad road to salvation." If that's the plan, the people are in big trouble.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point of the broad road to salvation, because Jesus himself tells his disciples, you know, the road is narrow.
Yeah.
The road to destruction is broad and wide.
Many find it.
Many find it. But the road to everlasting life is narrow.
And there's few that find it.
Yeah.
That's in Matthew chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I love Corinthians. Do you want to read verses 11 and 12?
Sure. "For the Spirit scrutinizes everything, even the depths of God. Among human beings, who knows what pertains to a person except the spirit of the person that is within? Similarly, no one knows what pertains to God except the Spirit of God. For we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the things freely given us by God."
So now, this is pretty cool, because what he's talking about is, we just talked about how it's not about wisdom, and we don't understand the plan because we want a plan we can understand. But God is such that the Holy Spirit, who explains to us the plan, who shows us the plan, who reminds us of the things that Jesus says, who allows us to say that Jesus is Lord. I mean, Paul says all these things. The Holy Spirit explores, if you, for want of a better word, knows all the depths of God. So in other words, God is so infinite and so amazing that the Holy Spirit kind of like understands all of God. And, you know, we're trying to, in our little feeble wisdom, we're trying to say, "Well, we don't understand this plan of salvation because this Jesus on the cross thing looks kind of silly." But this powerful being that the Holy Spirit has to, you know, look through the depths of, is the one who made the plan. And he can understand what's in us. And now that we're believers, And now, because of the cross, we're following Jesus, the Messiah, and we've repented of our sins, and we've accepted him as Lord and Savior, and we've decided to follow him. Now, we have that Spirit also living within us. Mm-hmm. And the Spirit then explains to us all these things that aren't explainable by human wisdom, these radical things that people walk by and say, man, you guys are nuts. I don't know what you're on about this, but this is kind of nuts. But the Holy Spirit himself explains this to us because it's not about human eloquence. It's not about human wisdom. It's not about our thought patterns. And Paul, after his amazing transformation, you know, he explains this in such a beautiful, powerful way, as you mentioned in Romans and in Galatians, actually in all the books, but in Romans and Galatians especially, he like shows how he went from the law to this. And, you know, other people at the time, even though they weren't as educated as Paul, but I mean, Paul was probably the most educated of the evangelists, and we don't know who they all were, you know, they studied the scripture when they were growing up, and even our friend Peter would have sat at the synagogue on Saturday morning and would have listened to the readings and would have listened to the rabbi or somebody do a teaching, and maybe he wasn't as smart as Paul, but he would have listened to all this, and he said, well, you know, I understand some of the stuff I don't understand. But after Pentecost, he understands this stuff, and he becomes bold in his proclamation. Mm-hmm. And he's then preaching the same message that Paul's preaching. And the bottom line is, because this is the plan of salvation that is based on the cross, it's based on the power of the Spirit, it doesn't matter who preaches the message. Mm-hmm. The people who heard Peter and were converted were just as saved as the people who heard Paul and converted.
Yeah.
That's why Paul says, you know, some of you are debating like, you know, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. Well, forget about all that, because Christ is not divided. Mm-hmm. So whoever tells you the message, that's what's important. The message is what's important, not necessarily who told you the message. It's about the message and not about the messenger.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You know what, when we mentioned Job, I turned to Job, and in chapter 38, I'm just going to read
It's awesome.
I'm just going to read the first couple of, verses here. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm and said, "Who is this who darkens counsel with words of ignorance? Gird up your loins now like a man. I will question you, and you tell me the answers." Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
So God's going to question. So yeah. we're going to question God, but now in Job, God says, okay,
yeah.
Gird up your loins like a man.
Yeah.
I'm going to question you, and now you tell me the answers.
Yeah, and you should read Job chapter 38 for your homework.
Yeah.
This is very, very, very powerful.
It pertains to this day.
Ooh, first break already.
Yes.
Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back after this break.
Let God arise. You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Since we're talking about human wisdom and we're talking about foolishness to those that are perishing and talking about how only the Spirit knows the depths of God, maybe we should have read some passages from most of Job chapter 38. And you can still read it over again for your homework.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, because it really embodies what we're talking about with Paul saying, you know, I'm preaching Christ in Him crucified. I'm not coming with my own wisdom.
Yeah.
And there was Job questioning the wisdom of God.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of things happened to Job.
Yeah.
But God says, and this is chapter 38, verse 4, "Where were you when I founded the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its size? Surely you know. Who stretched out the measuring line for it? Into what were its pedestals sunk? And who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Who shut within doors the sea when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling bands, when I set limits for it, and fastened the bar of its door, and said, thus far shall you come, but no further, and here shall you prude wave stop. Have you ever in your lifetime commanded the morning and shown the dawn its place? For taking hold of the ends of the earth, till the wicked are shaken from it, the earth is changed as clay by the seal, and dyed like a garment. But from the wicked their light is withheld, and the arm of the pride is shattered. Have you entered into the sources of the sea, or walked about on the bottom of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you, or have you seen the gates of darkness? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know it all." Wow.
Well, see, this is an example of when we talk about wisdom, what we're talking about in comparison to God's wisdom and human wisdom.
Yeah.
And we're trying to figure things out with our wisdom. We're trying to say, I mean, not us, but as Paul would say, those that are perishing are saying all this message of the cross is nonsense, because we're the ones that are wise. In Romans chapter 1, you know, Paul writes that people become foolish because they don't worship the Creator, they worship the creature, so they become like fools. Mm. And they profess themselves to be wise, but they become fools.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great example there in Job.
You know, and it's not just chapter 38, chapter 39. You know, chapter 40. I mean, God goes through this long list of questions for Job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's there for our benefit. You know, it's there for our benefit. As Paul says, all scripture is could be used for teaching.
For instruction, yeah.
Yeah, for instruction.
It's all God breathed. That's 2 Timothy 3:15.
Mm-hmm. And so just that little bit of, you know, the 38th chapter of Job, and there's more. And you know, if you're listening and you want to read more,
do it for your homework.
Do it for your homework. Chapter 38, 39, 40. I think it puts into place, even for our time, especially for our time now.
Sure.
The wisdom of man and the wisdom of God.
Right. I mean, human wisdom always has a problem with pride. Because when you know something, you say, "I know that.
I know that.
You don't know that. I know that." And if you're talking to somebody who doesn't know something that you know, you go, "I know that."
Mm-hmm.
Or if somebody says, "Do you know this?" You go, "Yeah, I know that." There's always an issue of pride. But when Paul's talking about the hidden wisdom, and when he talks about how the Spirit explores the depths of God, how he goes through the depths of God to understand everything, this is what he's talking about. This is not the wisdom of the world. This is the hidden wisdom of God. And now the wisdom's revealed to us by the Spirit, capital S,
right,
as he says in that other passage. You know, once we become believers and we're indwelt by the Spirit shows us God's wisdom.
Right.
So when we see the cross, when we read the scripture, when we hear something, we know in our spirit, little s, that that's true. or we're given an understanding about it, and we don't say, oh, that's foolishness, like the guy next door mm-hmm. who's an agnostic may say. So it's a matter of wisdom in the sense of how his wisdom is revealed to us. It's revealed, it's made known by the Spirit. And Paul talks about that in Colossians 1:26, that wisdom is revealed to the saints. Mm-hmm. Now, who are the saints? The saints are people like us who believe the message and say, yes, we accepted Jesus as Lord. We repented of our sins. We're following him. We're trying to live our life according to him, and we want to work for his kingdom. Okay, then this wisdom is going to be revealed to you by the Spirit.
You know, what you're saying, I'm going to just read from 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. And we speak about them not with words taught by human wisdom, but with words taught by the Spirit, mm-hmm. describing spiritual realities in spiritual terms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a natural person does not accept what pertains to the Spirit of God, for to him it is foolishness, uh-huh. and he cannot understand it because it is judged spiritually. The spiritual person, however, can judge everything, but is not subject to judgment by anyone. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to counsel him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Wow. That goes right into that passage from Job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
And, you know, Paul's little paragraph there, there's just so much there. There's just so much there that he speaks of in just that one little paragraph.
Yeah.
The natural person not accepting what pertains to the Spirit of God.
Exactly.
And, you know, the carnal person, before I was a believer, I scoffed at things.
Yeah.
You know, in my own ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now, as a disciple of the Lord and walking with the Lord, I realize, you know, just how ignorant I was.
Yeah.
You know, at times when I would scoff at things.
Uh-huh. I call that the old me and the new me.
Yeah, the old me and the new me.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure all of you listening can identify with that.
Mm-hmm. But the spiritual, now that we have the Spirit reveals mm-hmm. the mind of Christ to us.
Exactly.
He teaches us about the Scriptures. Mm-hmm. As we said before, sometimes you're reading a passage and you get an understanding of, wow, that's what this is pertaining to.
Exactly. Because he wrote it.
Because he wrote it.
You're breathed it out.
And it's, you know, God's putting on the mind of Christ for us. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, his grace, he's gracing us with, this is my wisdom.
Exactly.
But we're entrusted with that wisdom to deliver it.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not boastful, that it's not ours.
Right. Right.
It's God, and God's to be glorified right. in it.
Exactly. And also, you know, it's given unto us freely. All we have to do is to be open to it.
Yeah.
If we don't resist it, you know, Paul says, you know, he says we can grieve the Spirit. If mm-hmm. we don't grieve the Spirit, you know, if we're open to him, this is revealed to mm-hmm. us. And it, you know, the apostles got it. Those, you know, the 120 people in the upper room when the Spirit fell on them, boy, they got it. They were open to the Spirit after that.
Well, you know, when was it Peter? Who was walking up the steps at the gate, beautiful, and there was a beggar there?
Peter and John.
Peter and John. Yeah. And, you know, they said, gold or silver we have not, but what we do have in the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk.
Yeah.
They were given freely. They gave freely.
That's right.
And God was glorified.
Exactly. You know, you have to also keep in mind that this concept of the wisdom, the hidden wisdom of God that Paul talks about in Corinthians, that seems like foolishness to us. You know, this plan was made before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
This was not something new that happened that, you know, the day that Jesus was going to die or the day he was born or whatever. This was from the beginning, and it's all, I mean, not the beginning. There was not a beginning. It's way before anything was created. And like you always like to say, that it's all motivated by love.
Mm-hmm.
It's all motivated by mercy. It's all motivated by a desire that all could be saved, or else no one can be saved.
Right. And like we were reading from the book of Job earlier.
Yeah.
You know, God asked him, were you there when the world was created? Surely you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Can you tell me how all these things work? Sure. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. And it's all motivated by love. And you know, Jesus himself says, there's no greater love than this, but to lay down your life for your friends. Mm-hmm. And he calls them his friends.
Yeah.
And he also calls them his brethren. And even in the book of Hebrews, it says he's not ashamed to call them brethren, because in the flesh, he's our human brother. We're descended from Adam and Eve. He had a body that was descended from Adam and Eve. His body went through the Abraham and the chosen people line. We're not related to Abraham physically, mm-hmm. but he's our spiritual father because we believe in the Messiah.
Right, spiritually we're grafted in.
So, yeah, exactly. So Jesus is our brother in his humanity, and he also says he's our friend because he says he's going to lay down his life for his friends. So this is pretty cool that the Messiah is your friend and your brother.
And, you know, he says one other thing in that passage, you know, a servant, you're not a servant to me, you're a friend to me, because a servant doesn't know what his master's doing.
Oh, that's an excellent point.
But a friend does.
Exactly.
There's no secret there.
Right.
God reveals to us the mysteries of his kingdom, the mystery of his knowledge and wisdom, you know, and it's through the cross of Messiah that it's made possible, because if he didn't die on the cross, the Spirit would have never came to dwell in our mm-hmm. hearts.
Yes.
It's all part of God's plan for salvation and for restoring his creation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that part of that passage always strikes me, because, you know, when Jesus says, you know, I call you friends because a servant doesn't know what his master's doing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the intimate relationship that God wants to have with us.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to share with us the riches of his kingdom because he loves us. It's mm-hmm. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's really that simple. But to us, sometimes we try to make it much more complicated than that.
Yes.
You know, well, certainly there's something I have to do for this.
Yes.
No?
Yeah.
Just receive it.
Right. Or certainly we have to have some theologians explain to us how this works.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's all motivated by love.
Mm-hmm.
And so this immense wisdom, and when you read those chapters in Job, it's really pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. And when you understand this business of, you know, the Holy Spirit plumbs the depths of God, you see this infinite wisdom and compared to what we are, mm-hmm. and that wisdom essentially makes the plan of salvation.
Yeah.
How can we doubt that that's the only way to be saved?
Yeah.
And when we say, oh, come on, that's crazy, there has to be at least 27 other ways you can be saved,
mm-hmm.
then you're making a mockery of that.
Yeah.
And I always refer people back to the Passion of the Christ. If there really are 27 or 57 or 128 other ways of being saved, then Jesus was a fool. Because why would he go through that? Why would he subject himself to that horrendous death?
Right.
Because he wouldn't have had to do that if there was some other way to be saved.
Right.
And if he would have said, well, you can follow me, I'm going to go do this horrible thing now, and it's going to be really horrible for me, and if you want to follow me, that'll be cool, but if you also want to go do this other thing or the other thing or the other thing, you can still be saved. Why in the world would he do what he did?
Exactly. I mean, yeah, Jesus would have had been mentally insane to go through that.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
and you really, you know, for those of you that are listening, you really have to think about that. And if you get a chance to see that movie again, it's very difficult to watch, mm-hmm. but you have to have in your mind that this is the only way that sin can be dealt with.
Right.
Buddha can't deal with your sin.
Nope.
Muhammad can't deal with your sin.
Nope.
Krishna can't deal with your sin.
No.
Because they're human sinners just like you are.
Yeah. You know, we will say that, well, you know, the Passion of the Christ, wow, it's there's so much violence in it.
Mm.
Gosh, does it have to be that violent?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what's coming to me is the amount of violence that we see on television just day in and day out.
Yeah. Useless, pointless violence.
Pointless violence. and which is used to no gain. But yet, the passion of Christ, which is for the redemption of all mankind.
Yeah.
People go, oh no, you don't watch that. That's violent. You need to watch it. You need to look upon him who was crucified, who was pierced for your transgression, mm-hmm. and who saved you from the coming wrath.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, keeping in mind that this wasn't someone who was a really good man who really worked hard at being good, and so therefore he was better than all the other guys around him. This was the eternal Son of God who took on a human nature.
Mm-hmm.
That the second person of the Trinity, the ever-existent second person of the Trinity, who is God, co-equal, co-substantial with the Father and the Holy Spirit, is who is involved here. So this whole thing about the wisdom of God and the Spirit plumbing the depths of God, this is all about Jesus.
Right.
Because he is God. And this is why this hidden wisdom is at the core of this, that we can't understand this. Because we tend to look at, well, not we personally, or probably not you listening to the show, but people in general tend to look at Jesus and say, well, you know, he really was a very good man. He was a very good teacher. Mm-hmm. And if we all just followed his philosophies, everything would be good.
Yeah.
Now let's go on to the next philosopher and see what he has to say.
Right.
You know, and but he's not just a philosopher.
Well, you have the, you know, people want to do the a la carte. We have a tendency to want to do the a la carte faith. You know, sure. I'm going to pick a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I like what, you know, I like what this, I like what this philosopher said. And I'll kind of make my own hodgepodge thing.
Like going to a buffet.
Yeah. We get, you know, the buffet of faith.
Yeah.
And that's not what God's wisdom proclaims.
Exactly. And Paul, who again, you have to think how he was transformed from when he was Saul of Tarsus. I don't think any passage of scripture really emphasizes it as much as Philippians chapter 3. And everybody who knows me says, oh, I'm just a Philippians chapter 3 person. But Steve, if you can read Philippians chapter 3, verses 3 through 10,
okay. This
is really profound about Paul.
Okay, Philippians 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision, we who worship through the Spirit of God, who boast in Christ Jesus, and do not put our confidence in flesh, although I myself have grounds for confidence even in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he can be confident in flesh, all the more can I. Circumcised on the eighth day of the race of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrew parentage, in observance of the law, a Pharisee, in zeal I persecuted the church, in righteousness based on the law I was blameless. But whatever gains I had, these I have come to consider a loss because of Christ. And more than that, I even consider everything as a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have accepted the loss of all things, and I consider them so much rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having any righteousness of my own based on the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God, depending on faith, to know him and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by being conformed to his death.
Ooh. Ooh.
Wow.
We got to talk about that a little bit. Oh, here comes the music. Ooh, okay, here's a second break. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
Living God. presence known revealed, the glory of the living God. Let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the life of your river flow. Let the truth the weight of your glory fall. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of the living God. Spirit Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of the living God. Let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the life of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the weight of your glory, let the weight of your glory
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220, the last segment already.
I know.
Well, this passage from Philippians 3 could be like a whole show in itself. It is one of my favorites because, of course, everything, Paul says, everything that he had before, he considers as loss.
Yeah.
Compared to knowing Christ. Now, think about all he had before.
I was just going to say, imagine that.
Woo! All those years in the temple studying Gamaliel, all the other rabbis, all the teachers. He sat there with all the scrolls, and he learned all the things, and he was making notes, and he was reading all the commentaries and listening to these guys teach. And he said he could boast about that, and he could boast about the fact that He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had all these things he could boast about.
Yeah.
He says, you know what? That's all lost now.
Yeah.
Because now I found the substance of all that.
Mm-hmm.
So all those things are lost. And then at the end he says, you know, I want to be found in him because I don't have any righteousness of my own. There's no righteousness from the law. There's only righteousness that's through faith in Christ, the righteousness that's from God. So he says, this is what happened at the cross. This is where the transgressions of the law were paid for. So I don't have any righteousness of my own. All that stuff I did with the law, I count that as lost now. I don't count that as, hey, look how many points I got. Hey, look what a really good guy I was. Hey, look how well I did following the law. That's all lost now. He's trusting only in Jesus. And he's even not talking about the privileges he has because he's an Israelite.
Mm-hmm.
He says, well, you know, that's good, but it's okay.
Yeah.
I don't care about that now. All I care about is, you know, I count that as loss. All I care about now is Christ. You know, he says he was blameless following the law.
Yeah.
He was really doing it. He was doing it really well. But now he realizes he didn't have righteousness in that.
Mm-hmm.
He's from the tribe of Benjamin, which was a small tribe, but it was a loyal tribe.
Yeah.
They stayed with Judah. They stayed in the faith, and they didn't do idolatry. They were a little tribe, but they were very loyal. He's from that tribe. Now this is all loss. And, you know, you have to think about not only the stuff about the Pharisees and the religious things, but even the worldly things that he might have liked.
Yeah.
That's all loss. I mean, a lot of worldly things I used to like, this mm-hmm. is lost now.
Yeah. You know, and what he says there, to know him and the power of his resurrection mm-hmm. and sharing of his sufferings
mm-hmm.
by being conformed to his death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you know, he understands that the death of Christ is salvation.
Yes.
For him.
That's right. And so he's willing to lose all other stuff.
And
he's willing to lose the Pharisee thing.
Yeah.
He's willing to lose the Israelite thing. He's willing to lose the worldly things, the rank, the fancy robes. He can walk around like some weird looking dude now preaching. He doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care if somebody says Paul's crazy. He says, thank you very much, but I'm just here to preach the gospel.
Right.
Because that's all I care about.
And to know him and Christ. And to know Christ and him crucified.
That's
yeah.
right. And he lost things for this, but he doesn't care because he counts it as loss anyway, compared to knowing Christ.
Mm.
And it says, you know, that he counts it as rubbish. The Greek word there is skubala, which means manure or dung. It's not nice to write that in the English Bible.
No.
So, you know, that's kind of, you know. So they write, you know, they write rubbish. But what he's talking about is this is like dung to me now. All that stuff that I did before, I don't care.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything to me anymore. Because compared to Christ and the cross, it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
And now he also understands that the law can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
He has no righteousness of his own.
Yeah.
He could have been the best law keeper of all the other Pharisees. He said he was the most zealous. But he realizes now that compared to knowing Christ, that didn't get him anything.
Right. Right.
Now he knows him as Lord. It's not an intellectual knowledge. That's not, oh yeah, I know about this guy, Jesus. I know, you know, I know what he taught and I've read a little bit about him. He really knows him as Lord, and he calls it an excellence of knowledge, an excellency of knowledge. And he realizes now that this is how he's saved.
Yeah.
So he's a totally different person.
And it's so true because, you know, and you know this as we both study the Old Testament, you teach a lot of the Old Testament, where people sometimes they want to fall back into observing the law, and they start to boast about how well they're doing.
Yes.
And they're transgressing back into
mm-hmm.
or reverse not transgressing, but they're going back into the type in the shadow
exactly
that can't save them.
Yes.
And it's not to boast about it anyway.
That's right. Yeah. Paul says, I don't have any righteousness in that.
Yeah.
My righteousness is in Christ, and the righteousness comes from God. And he even says that in Romans 3:20, he says, now a righteousness apart from the law has been revealed.
Mm-hmm.
Now for a Pharisee to say there's righteousness apart from the law is radical.
Yeah.
He's talking about radical stuff.
Yeah.
So you need to go out there and talk radical stuff because you've got neighbors and friends and coworkers and you've got people at your church, and you've got people at the golf course, or you got people in the wherever it is you go that have no clue what you know, have no clue what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go preach this radical idea. Ah, show's over
Amen,
already.
Buddy.
We're going to have to do another show.
Yes.
Wow. Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that the power of the Spirit will enlighten your heart and your mind to the cross of Christ and salvation in Him, Jesus the Messiah. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.